Shapiri v. Mukasey. Mr. Burton.
May it please the Court, my name is Justin Burton, and I'm here on behalf of the Shapiris and their petition for review of the Board of Immigration Appeals decision. The first issue we must address in these types of cases is jurisdiction. 8 U.S.C. Section 1152A2B limits this Court's jurisdiction on cases where the appellant or the alien does not file for asylum within 1 year. However, the Real ID Act permits this Court to provide de novo review on legal and constitutional arguments. We, of course, argue in this case that there is a legal and constitutional basis in the government's failure, or the immigration judge's failure, to review the asylum application, and specifically as to the credible fear interview and the application at the time of arrival into the United States, his subsequent referral over to the immigration court and later on the Board of Immigration Appeals. The government argues in their brief that we have failed to exhaust certain arguments before the Board of Immigration Appeals. We argue that the Board of Immigration Appeals heard these issues and actually rendered a decision on the finding that the Shapiris had failed to file their application within 1 year. Specifically, the Board of Immigration Appeals stated, "We agree with the immigration judge insofar as he found the lead applicant failed to establish by clear and convincing evidence that she timely filed her asylum application." They heard the issue, and thus we exhausted our requirements for the purposes of the Act and for this Court to review the Board's decision and the immigration judge's decision. We also had argued on the merits hearing on August 1st, 2005, on page 138, that at the airport, when you're going through an asylum or an asylee's claim, it's an application that then gets referred over on an 863 form to the Immigration Court for asylum-only proceedings. That's precisely what happened here. The immigration judge failed to review the asylum claim, and thus we're asking for reversal and remands for the Immigration Court to review this claim. 8 U.S.C. 1225B1BI recognizes the request at the airport as an application for asylum. There are certain regulations also in place as a direct result of 8 U.S.C. 1158D that notes that the Attorney General has the right to prescribe regulations on how procedures in asylum cases shall move forward. However, this is not in conflict with 8 U.S.C. 1225, which recognizes that request as an application at the airport. The regulations require that a 589 application must be filed, but it doesn't say that it has to be filed within 1 year. We argue that the request at the airport is enough of an application for the alien to put the government on notice and the immigration judge on notice that we are pursuing, or they are pursuing, asylum. Lastly, we argued that the alien has a constitutional right to seek asylum.
That's really not a... I mean, that argument that just the airport interview is the claim, that's not right.
Judge, it may not be the claim, but the statute itself indicates that it's an application for asylum. I don't think the alien has to go through their entire claim in the airport, but the request for it and going and sitting in front of an asylum officer at the airport is enough to secure that filing within 1 year, that application. It doesn't need to be on the 589 form. There's nowhere in the statute or the regulations that requires that application to be on a 589 form to secure that 1 year filing. I see
that. The record suggests that she was told there's a 1 year requirement at the airport.
I don't think it does. She stated in her own testimony that she was told she had to file an application within 1 year. We think that was misleading. We think that she had, going forward with her claim before an asylum officer at the airport was enough. We think that the asylum officer misstated the act at that time. I'd like to reserve at this time.
Thank you. Ms. Nyberg?
May it please the Court. My name is Rebecca Nyberg on behalf of the Attorney General of the United States. We're asking you to affirm the immigration judge's decision as also adopted and affirmed by the Board of Immigration Appeals that Ms. Zakiri failed to file her asylum application within 1 year and was also ineligible for withholding of removal or CAT protection. Now, Petitioner's counsel makes a number of very interesting arguments. However, they're interesting to us in that there's absolutely no support in the regulations for most of what he is saying. His argument up here that there's no need to file the paper application in order within the 1 year is simply not found in the regulations. And in fact, he cites the regulation in his brief that states that an application must be made even after being put into proceedings from an airport interview. We're simply baffled by his argument that that regulation means nothing or that he's not bound by the language of that regulation or that he can read it in some other way as opposed to many of the immigration statutes. This is actually pretty clear that one must file that application within 1 year and that an airport interview or a statement to an airport official that there might be some sort of fear simply doesn't suffice. We would also recognize the jurisdictional argument that even withstanding any of the arguments, this court simply doesn't have jurisdiction to review whether the one-year bar applies or whether any exception applies. And the petitioner's counsel's revamping it as a due process argument doesn't make that any different. And not only does his argument that, you know, there's somehow some sort of legal argument in the factual circumstances of when she filed her application, that doesn't lend itself to review either. That leaves us with a withholding of removal and a CAT protection claim in this case. And we submit that as the immigration judge and the asylum officer and the board all found, there's simply no evidence of past persecution or a well-founded fear of persecution to uphold a withholding of removal claim, nor is there any evidence of torture to support a CAT protection claim in this case. The only thing we can think of to point to that might be supportive of a persecution argument would be the brief detention. However, the Zelaya case clearly states that a brief detention without any sort of mistreatment simply does not rise to the level of persecution. Also, the generalized harsh country conditions of a particular place does not support any sort of withholding of removal claim when there's not any sort of individualized action, such as in this case where she was subjected to the situation that ethnic Albanians were subjected to in that circumstance.
Were any of these arguments raised before the board?
We would agree with Your Honor that most of these arguments are unexhausted. Looking at the brief to the board submitted by petitioner, she states that she was in shock, she had stress, she had trauma, she didn't have any money or family in the country, she didn't understand English, and that's why she didn't file. That's not the same thing that's being argued here, and thus those issues are unexhausted. Her claims that we read for the sake of argument and to be inclusive and all of that, we read her arguments regarding persecution in the asylum context as also an argument of withholding of removal, and that's why we do take, for the sake of argument, that those claims were exhausted and they are properly before this court. Also, the claims of torture were not sufficiently briefed, we would say, to the board, but for the sake of argument, we do take them up here, and we do think that there's substantial evidence supporting the immigration judge and the board's decision in this case. There are no further questions.
Hey, thank you, Ms. Nyberg. Mr. Burton, how much time has? A minute? Yeah.
The government indicates that they're baffled by our arguments, but I'm simply reading the statute. It recognized the request at the airport as an application for asylum, and then it refers it over on an 863 application. It's kind of bizarre how they're ignoring the language of the statute as well as the CFR. The CFR at 208.3 indicates that you must file a form I-589, but it doesn't say within 1 year. It doesn't say otherwise. It just says, as the statute indicates, you must file the application within 1 year. As to the exhaustion argument,
Of course, you're reading the one-year requirement out of the law.
That's correct, out of the statute.
So there's nothing left. I mean, this is one of the 1 year is one of the fixed points of immigration law. A little odd to find out it doesn't exist.
Well, it's not that it doesn't exist. You have to make an application within the 1 year. The question is, what was that application? What is it at the time at the airport?
Shows up, you know, and then, everybody who shows up and the immigration people say, you know, you don't have a valid passport or visa or so on, we're going to put you on a plane, go back where you came from, they ask for asylum, right? So.
But they get put through a procedure. It's a credible fear interview. And at that procedure, when you make application saying, I am fearful of going back to my home country, that, according to the statute, is an application for asylum. If the person doesn't pass the credible fear interview, well, then it gets referred over.
But
for
if that is all that's required, why are they told they have a year to file asylum?
I think it's a misstatement by the asylum officer.
Nobody has to file for you. You just ask for asylum at the airport, and that's it.
Well, I think it depends. And when somebody comes in as an arriving alien to this country and makes an oral application at the border saying, I'm fearful of returning back home, and they get put through the channels and the procedures where they eventually make it before an asylum officer, then yes, the asylum officer makes that determination, then puts them in asylum-only proceedings. In that scenario, yes, that's an application for asylum. In another scenario where they're paroled in and then months later...
We have jurisdiction to decide that.
Well, you have jurisdiction under the, Your Honor, under the Real ID Act. Real ID Act covers claims, that legal claims and constitutional claims that are brought before this court.
If you've exhausted them, yeah.
Well, and I think we have. An issue is whether it was before, or the issue was before the Board of Immigration Appeals. And if we look at the Board of Immigration Appeals decision, they had actually issued on point what we are discussing. It doesn't have to come necessarily from our brief. It can come from the government's brief or sua sponte on the Board of Immigration Appeals' own decision. Which it clearly does by reading there.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you, Judge.